Thanks for taking time to be back with us this evening. It's great to be with you again, and I hope that we've discussed things that will be helpful to you as we think about our service to the Lord and our devotion to Him. In Matthew chapter 12, from the passage that Grant just read from us, Jesus makes some interesting allusions to the things in the Old Testament. And this is why it's important for us to understand our Old Testaments and to be studying our Old Testaments. They're just not just part of our Bible to make it thicker so that it sticks under our arm a little better when we carry it. There are incredible lessons for us to learn from the Old Testament. And Jesus draws on a couple of stories here as he's asked for a sign by some of the Pharisees. And he says, I'm not going to give you a sign. There's only going to be the sign of Jonah in the whale's belly. That's the story that the kids are familiar with. I think Tyler probably even knows this story of the Jonah and the whale. And Jonah was in the whale for 3 days and three nights. Jesus was going to be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. That is, by the way, proof that Jonah really was swallowed by the whale. It wasn't just some kind of fish story. Jesus said it was true. And the fact Jesus rose from the dead proves that Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. And he goes on, he talks about the men of Nineveh who Jonah was trying to flee from. And he says they're going to rise up in judgment because they repented when Jonah came. You remember, Jonah didn't want to go to his enemy and tell them to repent. He wanted them to be destroyed. And yet they repented when they heard the teachings of Jonah. And Jesus says, those people, when they heard the truth, repented. You haven't repented, and they're going to rise up in judgment against you. And then finally, in verse 42, he makes another reference to the Queen of the South. It says, the Queen of the South will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. Well, Jesus here is obviously alluding to the story of the Queen of Sheba. That story is found for us in 1 Kings chapter 10, beginning of verse 1. In 1 Kings chapter 10, beginning of verse 1, the Queen of Sheba comes to see Solomon and to hear of his wisdom. If you turn over in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 10, let's look at this account, because Jesus says that this woman who came to hear Solomon was going to rise up in judgment against the people of that day because she recognized Solomon's wisdom and came to hear it. These people weren't interested in that. Let's look at this story in 1 Kings chapter 10, beginning of verse 1, and see what kind of lessons we can learn from the Queen of Sheba. Jesus says we need to be like her. What kind of lessons do we learn from her that will help us today? 1 Kings chapter 10, beginning of verse 1. Now when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels that bore spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she had, and when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for her, for the king, that he could not explain it to her. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, and the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Howbeit, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord has loved Israel forever, therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness." Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices in great quantity, and precious stones. There never again came such abundance of spices as the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Keep your fingers there in 1 Kings chapter 10. We're going to reference that today as we base our lesson on this account of the Queen of Sheba coming to Solomon, what do we learn from this woman? The first thing we learn from the Queen of Sheba is that she came to Solomon from a great distance. Verse 1 says that she came from the uttermost parts of the earth. She had to find out, and so she came from the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, the question of the night is, how many miles is it to the uttermost parts of the earth? We don't know, but it wasn't just across town. It wasn't an easy journey, in other words. She exerted incredible effort to come to hear Solomon. And notice her travel arrangements. She wasn't flying by jumbo jet. She wasn't even sailing by ship. She was coming with a great quantity of camels. She had a desire. She exerted effort to come and hear the wisdom of Solomon. And I want to tell you, I believe Jesus is telling us tonight that we need to be exerting effort to come and hear the wisdom of God. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus says, come. She was willing to exert great effort to come to Solomon. We need to be willing to exert great effort to come to Jesus in our lives. Yes, some would say, well, there's just too many things in my life that I have to change. I would come to the Lord, but you don't understand, there's just so many things in my life, so many obstacles, so many challenges. I don't know that I'm willing to do that. Jesus says to come. He says, come like the Queen of Sheba. Do what it takes to get to Him. I would come to Jesus, but there's just some things that I don't want to give up right now. I don't want to change. You ever heard anyone say that? I would, but, you know, there's these other things in my life that I just enjoy them. They're just part of my life. I don't want to give that up. No. Jesus says, whatever it takes, do whatever it takes to come, just like the Queen of Sheba did. Some would argue, well, I would, but it's just too difficult. It's too difficult. There's no way for me to know what God wants from me. There's no way to know His wisdom. The Queen of Sheba could get there. She had the ability. I can't get to the Lord. No, you can. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. Notice what God says here. And thou, Solomon, my son... And thou know, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. It is possible for us to find God. It is possible for us to know His wisdom. If we will seek Him, He will be found. And it is available for all. There are some who would say, you know, maybe you're just a religious person. You're just a better person than I am. You can find the Lord. You can do the Lord's will, but not me. Not me. It's just something that I can't do. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And that him that heareth say, come. And that him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." It's up to us. Are we willing to exert the effort to come to the Lord? There are some in the religious world today who would teach us that it is impossible for everyone to come. It is impossible for whosoever will. There are some who would identify with the teachings of John Calvin, who would say that God has chosen certain ones who can come and certain ones who can't. It doesn't matter how much you want to. If God hasn't chosen you, you can't. Not according to this. And not according to Jesus. Jesus says we need to be like the Queen of Sheba. We need to be willing to do whatever it takes to come. Furthermore, as we look at this story from 1 Kings chapter 10, notice verse 2 again in 1 Kings chapter 2. She told him that was all that was in her heart. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels that bore spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. Think about the effort that she had exerted. She had exerted great effort to be there in the audience of the world's wisest man. Does it make any sense then that she wouldn't tell him all that was in her heart? Does it make any sense that she would hold back and not tell him everything that was on her mind? No. She was there now in his presence, and she was going to tell him everything that was on his mind, on her mind. We need to do the same when we come to God. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." We need to cast our burden on the Lord. We need to tell him all our heart, if you will. We need to give it all to the Lord and let him direct our ways. Look to him for the answers. We need to make sure that we don't have the attitude of many who come to life's challenges and life's dilemmas and conclude, "Well, I'm just going to have to figure out how I'm going to deal with this." Or, "I'm just going to have to figure out the way. I'm going to have to figure this out myself." No, we need to give it to God. We need to go to God and tell him all that is in our heart. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." And just as the Queen of Sheba would have been foolish to go to all that trouble to get to Solomon and then hold back and not tell him everything that's on her heart, so we are foolish if we have the ability to come to God as we do and then not cast all our care upon him and not let him have every concern and let him direct every aspect of our lives. The Queen of Sheba came to Solomon from a great distance, told him all that was in her heart, and furthermore, look at verse 1 again, she proved and tried him. Verse 1 says, "The Queen of Sheba, when she heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions." She wanted to find out for herself. She didn't take the word of others. She went right to the source. She went to Solomon. And so it is with us as well. We need to find out for ourselves. We don't just need to take the word of someone else. We don't just need to believe someone else. We need to find out for ourselves. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." John says that we need to be testing things like the Queen of Sheba did, to prove it for ourselves. We need to see it for ourselves. You know, there are many in the religious world today who believe it just because their preacher or their pastor or some bishop or someone that they saw on television said it. We don't want to be like that. We want to be like the Queen of Sheba, who proves it and tests it for ourselves, comparing it with the ultimate standard. And it's easy to see the folly of folks that we may talk to and say, "Well, my preacher said this," and they have no scripture to back it up. I want to tell you that the problem is there for Christians as well. There are a lot of Christians who are believing things that they hear because someone that they respect or someone that they love or someone that they've thought highly of for years says it. We need to be like the Queen of Sheba and prove everything that we have, that we believe. Test everything that we believe to make sure that it lines up with the Scriptures. In John chapter 4, verses 39 through 42. Notice the story here of the Samaritan woman at the well as she tells others. And notice their reaction. Their reaction wasn't just to believe it because they had heard it from the woman, but they went to test it and prove it for themselves. John chapter 4, verse 39. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, 'He told me all that I ever did.' So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" Notice these people proved Jesus. They tested him for themselves. We need to be like the Queen of Sheba and do just that. You know, there's a lot of information out in the world today, a lot of religious information, and access to that information is very readily available now. It is so dangerous when we take religious instruction without going back to the source and verifying that it is indeed the truth. We need to make sure that we're proving and testing all that we believe. Well, Queen of Sheba exerted a lot of effort, told Solomon all that was in her heart. She proved and tested him, and she received numerous benefits as a result. The first benefit that she received was that she found the answers to her questions. Look back there in 1 Kings chapter 10. Look at verse 3. So Solomon answered all her questions, and there was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. As a result of that, she had her questions answered. And certainly that must have been a relief. I don't believe the Queen of Sheba came from the uttermost parts of the earth with the camels loaded down with all those presents so she could ask Solomon trivial questions. She didn't make the great journey so she could ask Solomon which came first, the chicken or the egg. She had serious questions that she wanted the answer to. Can you imagine the relief and the blessing of having those questions answered? What a wonderful blessing that must have been for the Queen of Sheba. Well, the same is true for us. If we'll come to the Lord, if we'll do whatever it takes to come to Him, if we'll make whatever sacrifices are necessary to come to the Lord, and we'll cast our care upon Him, and we'll look to Him for the answers and Him for the guidance, and we'll make sure that everything we believe is from the Scriptures, then we will find the answers to our questions as well. We can find that rest through the questions that are troubling, the questions that are a burden to us. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." We can find the answers. We can have that benefit of having our questions answered, having our burdens lifted, if we'll come to the Lord. We have all the questions answered that we need to have answered in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "According as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue." The answers to the questions that we need to have answered have been given to us. If we'll come to the Lord, if we'll make the effort, as the Queen of Sheba did, then we can have our questions answered. Now, it's going to require effort. It required effort for her. We're going to have to study and give diligence to knowing the Word of God, but we can have our questions answered just as she did. Furthermore, when she came to Solomon, she was benefited by learning of His majesty. Look at verse 5. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 5. It took her breath away when she saw the majesty of Solomon. Look at verse 5. Verse 4 beginning. "And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters, and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entry by way by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her." She saw His majesty, and she was blown away. And if we'll come to the Lord, taking whatever effort it takes, telling Him all that's on our heart, casting all our care upon Him, looking to Him for the answers for the questions of our life, and trusting or testing them and proving the answers that we receive, make sure they're in alignment with His will, we will learn of the answers to our questions and benefit from learning of His majesty. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 tells us about this. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." Peter says, we saw the majesty of Christ, and we're telling you about the majesty of Christ so that you can understand and fully appreciate the majesty of Christ as we were able to witness it. We need to be like the Queen of Sheba. Come to the Lord so we can see His majesty. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 beginning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning of verse 4. Paul says that he had received things from the Lord, and that He is telling us these things so that we can benefit from the majesty of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Paul says, don't be following man's wisdom. Don't be following man's teaching. Follow what has been revealed to us in God's word, because the majesty and the glory that we will experience and witness is beyond description. We can't even comprehend the blessings that will come to those who will submit unto the Lord. The Queen of Sheba saw the majesty of Solomon. And verse 8 says that she also realized the blessing of being one of Solomon's servants. Look at verse 8. As she's blown away, as it literally took her breath away, it seems. Look here in verse 8. She concludes, happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. As she had gone to that great effort to be there, it dawned on her, you know, it would be a blessing to be in Solomon's presence all the time, to be able to stand before him and serve him, and to be able to hear of his witness or wisdom on a regular basis. She said that would be a wonderful blessing. And certainly it would be. And we have those blessings available to us today. Solomon had wonderful blessings. His servants not only got to hear his wisdom, they also got to enjoy his riches, didn't they? A few years ago, I think I've told you about going over to the Biltmore estate with Nikki, trying to be a good husband and go see that. I thought, well, I'm just going to have to, I'll just have to suffer through it so that, that I can check that off, that I took her to the Biltmore. And I actually really enjoyed it. It was fascinating. But they told a story about the servants that got to serve in the Biltmore house. And they wanted to serve in the Biltmore house because it was so elaborate. They were living in shacks in the mountains, and this guy comes in and builds this mansion that had a primitive form of air conditioning and all of the benefits of that. People wanted to come and work in that house so they could enjoy the benefits of living there in that wonderful place. So it is for us. We get to serve God. And it's not just some type of drudgery that we just have to get through it. We got to serve God, and it's just going to make your life sort of difficult. But in the end, you'll get to go to heaven. Your life on earth is just going to be torture. It's just going to be a terrible mess. But at the end, it'll be all right because you get to go to heaven. No. Serving God is a wonderful blessing today. As the Queen of Sheba saw that Solomon's servants were blessed in being able to serve him, so we are blessed by being able to serve God. In Romans chapter 6, beginning verse 16. Romans 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. And being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Do we see the people in the world that are living for themselves, who are doing the devil's will? Do we see them as servants that are being destroyed by their lives? We saw some immorality on our trip down in the Keys. We saw some folks living for themselves, and their lives were a miserable wreck. You don't have to be around folks like that for long to know that their lives are a train wreck. They think they're living it up. They think that they've got it made. But they're serving a master who is destroying them. We get to serve a master who blesses us, who makes our life full here and now, and rewards us forever in eternity. And we should be astounded and amazed at the blessing of being God's servant, just as the Queen of Sheba was astounded and amazed at the blessing that it would be to be Solomon's servant. And based on what she saw, verse 9 says that she praised God. Look at verse 9. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord has loved Israel forever. Therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness. Blessed be the Lord your God. We need to praise God as well, based upon all the things that we have experienced, all the things that we have seen. Praise to God ought to be a natural reaction. Hebrews chapter 13, beginning of verse 12. Hebrews chapter 13, beginning of verse 12 says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." All the blessings that we've enjoyed from Christ, all the blessings we enjoy as being his servants, the natural outflow of that ought to be praise to God. We offer the praise to God continually, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Are we doing that? Does our life reflect it, that we are living a life that praises God? Or are we like some who we talked about in our Bible class this morning who want to take some of that glory and praise for themselves? You think about the Queen of Sheba. As she had come to Solomon to hear her questions answered, and now that she has those questions answered, what a wonderful relief it was. Wouldn't it be foolish for her then to want to take the praise for knowing the answer to the questions? Look at me. Now I know the answer to the questions. Somebody pat me on the back. So it is with us. I'm afraid many times we read what God wants for us and we do it. And we're blessed by it. And then we want somebody to pat us on the back and say, "Well, you're such a wonderful person. You did such a wonderful thing." No. Who gets the praise? God does. He told us how to live our lives. We need to make sure that we're giving him the praise. Psalm 28, verse 7. Psalm 28, verse 7. "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him." God has blessed us. Let us live a life that praises him. Well, Jesus said that the Queen of Sheba would rise up in judgment against the people of that day because she had come to hear the wisdom of Solomon. She came from a great distance. She came from the ends of the earth. She told him all that was in her heart. She proved and tested him. As a result, she found the answers to her questions. She learned of his majesty. She realized the blessing of being one of his servants. And she praised God. If we'll come to the Lord, whatever the cost, if we'll make whatever sacrifice is necessary to come to the Lord, and we'll cast all our care upon him, and we'll submit to his will in our lives, we'll make sure that we are submitting to his will, not the will of men, we'll prove and test it, then we will learn as well the answers to our questions. We'll be able to learn of his majesty. We'll be blessed abundantly. And we'll live a life of praise to God. How are you living your life tonight? Does your life reflect the fact that you realize what a wonderful blessing it is to be Christ's servant? And are you living it in your life? We need to be reminded of what a wonderful blessing it is to be able to know God's will and to be able to live it in our lives. And let us ask the question of ourselves tonight. Are we fully devoted to that and fully dedicated? And if not, if there's changes that need to be made, will you make those changes while we stand and while we sing?